So, welcome everyone to the Conscious Business Telesummit and to our final call of the series. We're going to begin with our connection. So just take a nice deep breath, whether you're seated or you're standing, and just breathe deeply. And exhale, just releasing and relaxing into the present moment. Feeling yourself coming online, more awake, more aware, more engaged in this delightful conversation that we're about to have. Feel your energy just filling the room so much so that you feel much bigger than you ordinarily do. And you can feel the connection to the others on this call and to all those folks who are on and up for conscious business. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale. And just feel your full being, your full awareness, present and ready to play. Thank you, everyone. Today, our guest is my friend and mentor, Ellen Britt. She's the co-founder of Marketing Chi, which helps heart-centered entrepreneurs add powerful internet marketing strategies to their businesses. Ellen specializes in mentoring her clients to build large email lists through virtual joint venture events, and then guides them to combine the results with a custom, highly leveraged business model designed to produce immediate cash flow and continued profits. Drawing on her 22 years' experience in emergency and occupational medicine, Ellen has honed her interviewing skills to a fine edge and has had the opportunity to interview many of the most well-known names in internet marketing as well as in self-development. She's facilitated over thousands of hours of teleclasses and is an expert at selling her high-ticket programs via preview teleseminars and in one-on-one phone conversations. In addition to her two decades of experience as a physician's assistant, Ellen also holds a master in psychology and a doctorate in biology. She's professionally trained in hypnosis and guided imagery, and she uses these skills extensively with her high-end clients to help them achieve breakthrough business results. Ellen lives and works near Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Ellen.
Well, thanks, Adela. I've been looking forward to this for a long, long time.
I know. Me too. Yeah. Especially this whole idea of the copycat entrepreneur.
Yeah, don't you just love that?
Oh, that is just so on target, because heaven knows I have felt like that myself until I started working with you.
Hey, and I felt like that at one point as well. So no need to fear.
Yeah, because we all go around, you know, we know that we need information to put our conscious businesses out there. And so we take different courses, we take different trainings, and we take pieces and bits from everyone that we've studied with and, you know, things that they've, you know, told us works. So we model ourselves after other people. And when our businesses don't go boom and really fly, we're so disappointed that we think, you know what, maybe I'm just not cut out for this. And that's not exactly true, is it, Ellen?
No, it isn't. You know, we all have to. Well, let me just back up, because you know what I think about all this copycat stuff, Adela? That really, when you do that, those actions are based in fear, you know. And I've been there, too, so I'm not blaming anybody, but it's things like, you know, I don't know enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough. And for me, you know, I don't have the right degree. You know, I always had to get another degree before I was good enough. I'm not certified, or I don't have the right certifications. And then sometimes even to our physical characteristics, you know, I don't have the right hair color. I'm not tall enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't live in the right place, you know, and all of that. And I found that especially, and men tend to do this some, but women especially, we really tend to undervalue, way undervalue, and discount ourselves. And then because we're discounting ourselves, we discount our products and services. It's really interesting to me, Adela. Recently, I've had the opportunity to work one-on-one in person with some of my high-end platinum clients. And for some of those folks, I actually sat down and wrote a bio for many of them. And I began by looking at everything they had done in the past. So I asked them lots of questions, which was really fun. And when I asked them the questions, several of them tried to push aside some of their work experiences. They said, oh, no, that's not relevant. You know, mm-hmm. And I found that it was relevant. So you have to, you know, I would invite all of you listening to the call to do what I call an inventory, you know, and take a look at everything that's contributed to who you are up to this point, because that can really help you to see what unique value you bring.
Yeah, it's like we discount the things that come naturally and easily to us.
Yeah, or right. We don't see the relevance to what we're doing now. I mean, for me, you know, it's like, okay, I was in medicine for 22 years. What does that have to do with marketing, you know? Well, it has a lot to do with it, you know. And just in terms of interviewing, which is one of my specialties, when I interviewed people in an emergency room situation, the questions that I asked were a matter of life and death sometimes. And if I didn't ask the right question, it could have a very bad outcome. So I learned very quickly that I had to ask the right questions. Now, it's usually not a matter of life or death when we're on teleseminars asking questions, which is a good thing. Sometimes it feels like life or death, but it's not. But, you know, you quickly learn to take that experience I did and translate it over. And you can do so with your own experiences as well.
So why is it that copying successful entrepreneurs doesn't work?
Well, you know, at first, when we first start out, we think that it will, because for one thing, Adela, it's not your fault. We're looking at all of these sales letters, and the sales letters, and people have this tremendous copywriting skills, and sales letters tend to convince us that if we just do these things or be like this person, that it will work. And so some of it we kind of get sucked into by some of the marketing. They don't actually say, you know, be me and it'll work. But that's kind of the underlying message, isn't it? You know, if you just be me, do what I do, it's kind of this mini-me syndrome. But we all know that that doesn't work, because really in internet marketing there really are no franchises. You know, you're not going to open up a McDonald's or do whatever. You've got to look at what works on the internet, and there are many, many ways to make money on the internet. But when I used to hear that, Adela, it drove me crazy. I'd say, I don't care. Just show me one thing. Just show me the steps. Show me what to do, and I'm a hard worker. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I think, did you ever say that to yourself?
Oh, of course.
You know, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But that's not the way it works. It's not like, you know, put a quarter pound of meat on the grill and do this, and you end up with a quarter pounder, and you do this and do that, and you sell it. Because what works for one person is not going to necessarily work for you. So the basics, though, are the same for everybody. So the good thing is that you can learn a certain set of skills, like how to put up a web page that attracts visitors, how to grow a list, and those kinds of things. And those things are the basics. But you've got to put your own self into it, or it's not going to work for you. You cannot copy someone else. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and that can be also a place that's kind of scary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to let people know who you really are. So how do you find your own entrepreneurial essence? How do you capture that thing that makes you you?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I thought about this a little bit. It's almost like branding yourself in a way. But when we think about branding, you know, we think about big companies. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, even Coca-Cola tried to copy itself, didn't it, you know, several years ago with that new formula? And boy, did that backfire on them, you know.
It bombed.
Everybody wanted the original. So I say that the key is to model, but not to morph. You don't want to turn into the other person. You want to keep your own style. And you have to kind of develop your own brand. Now, one way to do this is do what I call claim an attribute that no one else is using, or you know, few people are using. For example, here's something. I'm a knowledge hound, and I kind of am becoming known for that. I love to learn new things. I love to read. I love to research. I love to look up all the studies. I try the latest things. I just have to know, and this is my personality, I have to know everything about online marketing so my students won't have to. And, of course, this fits for me. You know, I have multiple academic degrees. I got 2 bachelors, 2 masters, and a doctorate, you know. So it's just like, you know, that's just my thing. So learning is a real strength for me. It's something I love to do, so it's a fit. Now, another way to do this besides picking an attribute that you're known by, such as the knowledge hound, is to position yourself as an expert. For example, I'm becoming known as an expert at helping others build large email lists using virtual joint venture events. So pick out something and start referring yourself as to an expert in that area. You notice that that's in my bio, isn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah. So put it in your bio. And wait a minute, and listen, nobody's going to toot your own horn for you. You have to pick something out and put it in your bio. And then when people read it or they see it on your website, they go, oh, John's an expert at so-and-so, or Randy's an expert at whatever, you know. And then another thing, and this is, goes with the more traditional concept of branding, is appearance. You know, on your website, marketing chi, of course, we play off this idea of, like, you know, Chinese medicine, Chinese energetics. We use a lot of white space in our design. The concepts around sparseness, elegance, minimalist. You notice if you're on my list, if you get an email from me, it doesn't cover the whole page and doesn't say a whole lot. It's usually pretty minimal, kind of haiku-like almost.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to conferences, I dress mostly in black with a kind of an Asian influence. I might wear a top that has a mandarin collar or sleeves that are three-quarter length or something like this. This reflects my brand. So that's what you want to do. Those are just a couple of things. This is something that I go into in great detail with my platinum clients, is this idea of really standing out in the marketplace as your unique self. But those are the things you can do. Claim an attribute, position yourself as an expert, and pay attention to your own appearance and the appearance of your website.
Yeah, you embody your brand all over the place, whether it's your writing, the way that you look, even how you work with your clients.
Now, you'll have to explain that one to me and working with my clients.
Well, you know what you do that's marvelous. It's so interesting because I was talking with another one of your clients, Richard, just a couple of days ago. And we were just, going back and forth and having a conversation. And so he wanted some more detail specifically about something that you had gone over with me in terms of doing a one-on-one sales.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that is what's brilliant about Ellen. Ellen gives you the bare bones because otherwise you wouldn't be able to show up in it.
Well, that's true, because otherwise, you know, you hear all these people saying, okay, I'm going to give you step-by-step instructions and templates and detailed scripts and stuff like this. Well, guess what? If you follow them, you're going to be looking like a copycat, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I
it's
do.
Like,
I do give
do
you the
that.
Bones.
Yeah, and, you know, at first it can be like you can kind of feel, especially if you want that, because we want the solution, we want the formula, we want the template, we want the model. Mm-hmm. And yet, if I were to model you, I'd be a really poor version of Ellen. Right?
Well, yeah, and actually you step quite nicely into your own energy, and you don't need to be me. And you couldn't be, even if you wanted it, as I couldn't be you. You know, most of us, that's kind of the bad news and the good news, Sabella. You know, you can't be somebody else. That's the bad news. And the good news is you can't be somebody else. Because, you know, we have our own DNA. We have our own experiences, where we grew up, our education, our influences. We just cannot be somebody else. You may as well just give it up now and put your own twist on things.
Yeah, and that is the scary part. The scary part, and I'm speaking for myself, is, you know, especially in an online business, as an entrepreneur, you are your business. And so there's really no place for you to hide. And that actually gives you wonderful opportunities. So one of the scary parts is really being yourself fully, because that is what's going to step, that is what's going to have you set apart from everyone else. And that, how do you deal with that, Ellen? How do you deal with the, oh, are people going to get this? Am I going too far? Or, how do you deal with that?
Can you rephrase that, Adela? I'm not sure I'm getting it.
Yeah, you know, I know that for myself, I was afraid to do, for example, these connections at the beginning.
Yeah.
Energy aspect me that is very connective, and, you know, I get energy and all that. I used to be very scared to do that. I was terrified to do that and let people know that I was woo. Right?
Yeah.
And yet, the first time I did it, it landed so well that then I didn't do it the next time, and people asked me, well, can we start the call with that thing that you did, that meditation that you started us with?
Uh-huh.
So that kind of thing.
Well, there you just partially answered your own question, because for one thing, you just have to put stuff out there and see how it lands. Now, if you get hate mail from your list, you might want to think about not doing it, you know. But if you get good feedback, or you know, people seem to like it, or they don't even say anything, then continue on with it. You have to put out there what works for you. You know, and just in the way that you're teaching things, I'm always experimenting with different things. And when you start building your online community and you have a list, believe me, and you know this, Adela, they'll let you know what they like and what they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes very vocally.
Yeah.
And you have to get used to standing your ground, too. You know, you can't have just one or even two people saying this or that and being negative. Because people, the more successful you become and the more you put yourself out there, the more hate mail you're going to get. However, the more love notes you're going to get, too. So you can't let one or two negative comments pull you down. You've got to just brush those off and think to yourself that, okay, I'm really stirring things up here, and I'm getting noticed, and this is what's happening. Well, who was it? It was Dan Kennedy said, if you didn't make two or three people really flaming mad before lunch, you weren't marketing aggressively enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to get negative comments. You're also going to get emails from people that say, you've changed my life. And that's one of the most gratifying things that can happen.
Oh, that is just so extraordinary to get those emails and phone calls.
Absolutely, it is. Or to go to conferences and have people come up to you and say, you know, I'm on your list. I love your stuff. I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you know that, you know, your message is getting out, because you get feedback. Definitely. And you won't get feedback if you don't put yourself out there. So that there really is no bypassing that piece, because that piece is key in the unfolding of your own essence, your own brand and your business. Right, Ellen?
Yeah, oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, everybody thinks, okay, an internet business, I can just, you know, sit in my home office or, you know, my kitchen table or the corner of my bedroom, wherever you have your desk set up, you know, and hide behind my computer or my telephone, you know, and never get out there. But I would really encourage everybody to step out of that virtual closet as often as you can and get to events. In your niche, if you're in marketing, in the internet marketing niche, there's no substitute for getting out there and going to conferences, because there's lots of folks out there, and they are, for the most part, they are lovely people, and you're just going to have a fabulous time. You're going to learn so much by going out.
Yeah, that's one of the the things that I've noticed this year that's made the biggest difference for me.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happens at conferences is, you know, it's not only about meeting people, but as you're meeting people and as you're talking to other people, it's like this creative cauldron. You get a gazillion ideas.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, networking, joint ventures, and you're absolutely right. There seems to be kind of this kind of brain energy that these ideas are kind of flying around in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get in a group with somebody or talking one-on-one with somebody, and you're just going to come up with things that you would not have thought of at home. You just won't do it. It happens almost every single time.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because you were the person that shifted me around marketing.
Uh-oh.
I hated marketing until I came across you.
Yeah, I remember hearing you say that.
Oh, really? And I had done lots of training with some really high-profile people, and I remember a conversation that I had with you before the joint venture apprentice training that you did. You actually, I know that you spoke with me about it before. It was kind of, it was like a screening to see if I was right for the program. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to you that I had done, you know, this high-profile person's, you know, year-long marketing program. Mm-hmm. And you told me, well, I'm not so-and-so, but I can tell you that you're going to, and then you went off and you told me everything that I was going to get from being in this course. Mm-hmm. And just the way that you did it felt so resonant for me. It was almost like the light bulb went out and I saw marketing for the first time in such a different way that it opened me up to it. That now, you know me, I love doing all my own sales copy.
I know.
I'm like, I've become an internet marketer, which is like really the epitome of irony here. But how is it that someone comes to embrace marketing in a different way? What is marketing, Ellen?
Marketing is simply, let me back up, because, you know, whatever, think, when you're on the call, think about whatever niche you're in, you know, whatever business you're in. We probably have a lot of marketers. Who else do we have here on the call, Adela, in terms of niches, do you know? We've probably got healers and, you know.
Yes, we've got healers. We've
coaches.
I spoke with someone today who's a mediator. We've got coaches. We've got all different people who actually sell physical products, you know, natural products. We've got all different types.
Okay, well, I got news for them, Adela. That's not their business. Marketing is your business. I can hear the silent screams in the background. Because you already know the thing that you're good at, you know. I mean, you can go and get more training and, you know, coaching or whatever it is. But if you don't embrace marketing at some level, your message, your products, and your services will never get out there. And people will not be served, and you will not be served. So it's the marketing is everything. And I don't know. Marketing is such fun for me. And I was in that same spot, Adela. I mean, years ago, I created a product with a business partner. And it was, you know, we did it completely backwards like everybody else does. Oh, we had this fantastic idea and created this product. Even won an award for it, you know. Could I sell it? No. Because I didn't research it. I went about it completely backward. And I just thought to myself, I was so disappointed. And that's when I had to start to learn about marketing. And when I started to learn about it, I just became fascinated with the idea of learning to present my products and services and eventually others' products and services in such a way that would compel people to take out their wallets and buy. It's a fascinating, fascinating area of study. It combines everything that I love about academics, you know, social psychology, psychology, just everything. It's endlessly fascinating to me. And I try to bring that element of fascination that I have to my students and clients as well.
Well, it landed for me, girlfriend. I love marketing. And flipping that switch has made all the difference in my business. I remember hearing somebody saying, if you don't market, you don't have a business, you have a hobby.
That's right. It's just a hobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I know that for folks who are conscious, this is kind of like one of those sticky spots because, you know, we see some of the marketing that's out there on the internet and we see some of the techniques that are used and they kind of just like feel really yucky to us, you know.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to feel salesy. We don't want to feel like we're pushing. So what are some of the ways that people can market that feel good?
Well, first of all, Adela, you have got to believe in your product. If you have any doubts about your product or service, then you've got to shore it up. You know, you've got to make your product better. If you're shaky about your skills, if you're just starting out and coaching, consulting, or whatever, then you've got to do what it takes so that you are completely confident in the value that your products and services bring to others. That's the first step, because mm-hmm. it's not like we're snake oil salesmen here, you know. We are selling something that's going to benefit others and change people's lives for the better. So until you have that conviction under your belt, you may tend to feel a little bit shaky and queasy about putting your stuff out there until you are completely confident. One of my first small business mentors said to me, the first question he ever asked me, he says, Ellen, are you completely confident in your product or service? I thought that was a pretty powerful question to ask, and I don't hear that many people asking that question anymore. But that's a very, very basic thing to do, because if you are confident in your product or service, you are confident that it brings great value and that you are truly going to serve people, then marketing is a natural extension of that process. You've got to market in order to let people know. Otherwise, how will people know that you're there? If they don't know you're there, they won't purchase your product or service and won't have the opportunity to learn about it, and they cannot benefit from it. Who was it that Jay Abraham said? We have a moral obligation to let people know about our products and services if those products and services truly fill a gap and serve people. Then we've got to let people know. As simple as that.
Perfect. Have you found any particular methods or techniques of getting the message out about your work that were more easy, were more resonant for you?
Hmm. Well, I incorporate several different things. I particularly like teleseminars.
Mm-hmm.
I like that kind of personal connection on teleseminars. But, you know, I'm sure folks who are listening to this call have been on a lot of teleseminars before, and there are ways to do it where you can make a better personal connection. You've probably been on teleseminars before, haven't you, Adela, where, you know, you get on the phone and there's just, like, no connection there.
Yeah.
You just hear this voice, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like one of those old Charlie Brown cartoons, you know, where the adults never, you can never hear them. They just go, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like that, you know. But what I try to do is establish a personal connection. And one of the ways you did that on this call was that you did that energetic connection at the beginning, which was very nice, you know. And the other way I like to establish connection is at events. I love to go and network. And you know what, Adela, I grew up, I was the shyest child. I don't think I said a word in high school. I was extremely shy, even when I went into college. And I still consider myself a very introverted person, very. But I learned to be happy talking to people and realizing that other people are just as scared as I am. That's what turned it around for me. One day I really did see that everybody else thinks the same thing. I mean, for the most part, other people may not be as introverted as I am, but I just got over it, and I began to go up to people at events. And here's what I do. I go up to people at events, and I see somebody, if they're not engaged in conversation with anyone, and, you know, you see these people all the time at events, they look like they're lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go up to them, and I stick out my hand and say, hi, I'm Ellen Britt from Atlanta, Georgia, and I don't think I've had the pleasure of meeting you. And they just light up like the room, Adela. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, and I say, then I look at their name tag and I say, oh, you're Pamela from, Marquette, Wisconsin. Tell me what you do. And then they tell me what they do, and then they ask me what I do. And then we just go back and forth and have a great conversation and exchange business cards, and that's all there is to it. It's just so easy.
I love that formula. It's so natural. It's
so
easy.
I tell you, that's worth about $1,000 right there.
That's right. That is. Because this shouldn't come as a surprise. Sometimes people think I'm very extroverted,
uh-huh.
but I'm actually not when it comes to events like that.
Yeah.
For me, it's the same thing. I need to have a personal connection in order to open up. And those techniques, I remember that you shared that when we were together at an event in October, and that actually helped me meet some people because I tend to be a little bit more shy in person. So
yeah, it's just if you just think to yourself, that person is in pain because they don't know what to do. And if you just go and stick out your hand and say hello, people will just, they just love it. They love it.
Yeah.
And the first time you do it, it'll be so gratifying that you can't wait to go and meet other people.
Yeah, because you're right. There's so many, I mean, I think that those folks that are extroverted and go around, you know, like, you know, bees, you know, visiting all the flowers are really small in comparison to the rest of us that certainly don't feel that natural at those kind of events.
Oh, they are. And you'll stand out by doing that. Absolutely. I would encourage you to try it. Those of you who are listening to the call or the recording, listen, try this and challenge yourself the next time you go to an event to do that and to see and introduce yourself to as many people as you can using that little formula. And I would love to know what your results are.
Wonderful.
I guarantee they'll be positive.
Yeah, they sure will. I wanted to pause. We've got a couple of questions.
Great.
So I wanted to take a moment. This is from Linda in Yorkshire, the UK.
Wonderful.
I would love to find the balance between a mile-long sales pitch calling the customer stupid if they don't buy this no-brainer whatever and finding the confidence to promote my own products.
I'm not sure I understand the question. There's a question about long banana sales letters. I hear that. But
yeah,
it sounds like maybe others long banana sales letters.
No, I think that she's trying to find a balance between not doing those long banana sales letter where people feel like they're stupid if they don't buy, and also, you know, putting something out where she also feels confident about her product.
Yeah, okay. And then this was Linda who wrote the question?
Linda, yeah.
Okay, Linda, long banana sales letters remain popular because they work. And there are certainly some real bad long banana sales letters out there, and there are some good ones. You have to look at the price point of your product before you determine the length of the sales letter. If you've got a $497 product that you're trying to put out there, a three-paragraph sales page is not going to cut it. You have got to answer all of the potential customers' questions and objections in that sales letter before they will purchase from you, especially if it's that high a price point. So there are ways to write them without, you know, calling people stupid unless they buy. And I know exactly what you mean. I've seen letters like that. It's like, oh, man, I'll never purchase from this person. You know, make me feel like an idiot. There are ways to write sales letters, though, that do not insult your potential customers, but serve them by giving them all of the information they need to make that purchase decision. Now, if you're going with a lower price product, you know, $27 ebook, you don't need. That's pretty much an impulse buy. Anything below $100 is pretty, and now even below $200 is an impulse purchase, or what we call an impulse purchase. People don't think about it that long. If it fits what they want, and they'll just get it. But you will not sell something in a higher ticket item, several hundred dollars up to $1,000, without a longer sales letter. It's just not going to happen. So I encourage you to study them and look at them and see what turns you off as well as what attracts you. And, you know, keep the best and throw out the rest.
Great. You know, the thing with the long sales letter, if it's a sales letter where you're actually connecting and getting information, it feels so different than those other kind of sales letters.
Yes.
It actually feels good, and it actually, what happens as someone who's interested in purchasing whatever the sales letter is about, is it actually either moves you towards the purchase as that being the right thing for you. So addressing the objections and also, you know, really covering all the reasons why this product is really, really the right thing for you. And so I think that one of the things that I've learned to do, Ellen, and I've learned a lot about sales letter writing from you, is that I connect with my customer right off the bat, and I actually, this is a tip I got from you, actually. Yeah, so it's, I'm actually speaking to someone, and it's
that's why they call it a sales letter.
Yeah.
It's like, dear friend.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's like you're writing to a friend.
Can you just tell us a little bit about that, Ellen, how it makes a difference when what happens when you're writing to someone?
Well, you know, and I have to catch myself doing this too, Adela. When I write a letter, go back and look at your sales copy and remove all references to they or them or us or we, and replace it, if you can, if it's grammatically correct, with you. Write to a particular person. Have a particular person in mind. When I write an email that I send to my list, I put a name up at the top. I write to a particular person. It's so helpful to picture that person as you're writing the letter. And then you are writing to a friend. You are writing to someone that's going to care about it, not just some, you know, amorphous mass of people that may or may not read your letter. That personal connection and the feeling that you have when you are writing this letter is all important.
Yeah, that made a huge, huge difference for me. Thank you, Ellen. See why I love marketing? Okay, the next question, I don't know who it's from. It's from someone anonymous. So here we go.
Okay.
What would make it easier to do the switch from private practice where you have people in front of you to phone sessions and teleclasses? For me, it is being quite difficult to keep up with the technology and learn how to be functional again in this new way of practicing.
Hmm. Well, they don't say what their, you know, what their niche is. I don't know whether this is someone who's a, you know, a therapist or somebody else who's like trying to transition into coaching, or maybe they're an in-person coach or consultant that's trying to transition over.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you have to get some practice. You have to get, you know, you're going to have to, I would take some classes, get some instruction, and pick somebody who's doing what you want to do, who's successful, and talk to them and see if they've got any products or classes that you can take about actually doing teleclasses. There's many people who teach people about actually doing teleclasses, and you're going to have to get some practice. It's going to feel awkward to begin with, but the actual technology is actually not that big a deal. I mean, the phone is still the phone, and everybody talks on the phone, usually multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
On the phone, the bridge line, you're just talking to a lot of folks at once. That's all, you know. And that technology is not too difficult. But you've just got to take the leap and get out there and do it, and it will feel difficult at first. Anything that's going to grow you or stretch you is going to feel difficult. So you've just got to take the leap and go do it, and then it will get easier.
Yeah, and I would add that one of the things that I did, I actually became a member of a study group
mm-hmm.
back in my coaching days, and we used to take turns leading the calls. So sometimes it's much easier to do something like this when you're among a group of trusted colleagues and friends and do that for a bit first before you jump out and lead a teleclass for your customers.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah. Plus, your friends will give you feedback.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, and they'll tell you what worked and what you might want to polish a little bit. So, and then you get your confidence, and then you can dive, you know, into leading calls for your customers.
Yeah. So. The other thing to do, Adela, is for folks to attend as many free teleclasses and paid teleclasses as you can, because that will give you an idea of folks' style, and you can pick up sort of amazing amount of information a lot of times on free teleclasses. Now, I would not, and this is a mistake that a lot of folks make early on, and I always thought, I heard this advice, and I thought, well, they're just saying that because they just want to sell me their product. But you really can't expect to build your business on information you get from free teleclasses. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So you're going to have to invest in yourself at some point. But you can get a lot of information from free teleclasses, especially not so much maybe the content, although you can get good content, but just the style and listening to what works and what doesn't and what attracts you and what repels you in terms of how people lead them. So I would, there's teleclasses every day of the week now, too many to even attend. So, you know, sign up for some folks' newsletters, start attending some free teleclasses, and that'll help you out a lot.
Yeah, that's one point that's been coming out throughout this series about the willingness to invest in yourself, especially if you're looking to grow your business.
Yeah.
At some point, it can take a really long time to even get to get the basics.
Been there, done that, Adela.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And then finally I said, maybe there's something to, paying for somebody who knows how to do this.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
called 7 years.
Exactly. Yeah, I think mine
yeah.
was six, Ellen.
Yeah.
So the thing is that from listening, because I'll tell you also that it has to do with finding someone whose style is resonant for you that you can learn from.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
As I've mentioned, once I met Ellen Britt, and I had heard Ellen, and I had been in a coaching listserv with her for a number of years. And she always, she responded to questions, and they were always well thought out and intelligent. They always added to the conversation. And I would always come away when I read her email saying, I like this Ellen. I like what she said, you know. And so I had developed, just from reading her responses in a listserv, I had developed a relationship with her. Unbeknownst to her, because I don't think I ever said anything to
her. No, I don't think so. You know, you put stuff out on the list, or you think, does anybody even look at them? You don't know. But people do. Yeah.
But the thing is that from being out and listening and being on different calls, you're going to get an idea of who works for you, and you'll know because your body will perk up. You'll be like, oh, I like that, or you'll liven up. And so free teleclasses are great for that, to really give you a sense of who may be the right person for you to, maybe do some training with. But definitely once you find, some folks that are resonant for you, I advise you take the dive because you're going to move so much quicker. My business has transformed in a year of working with Ellen.
And we're going to do some more work, Adela.
And, man, I can't wait. We're meeting in January. I can't wait what's going to happen in 2010.
I can't wait to get my hands on your business.
Me too. But I want to move on to an area that you are just
right.
so master. You are masterful at building relationships. You really are. And I'd love for you, I don't want to go on because she's got a teleseminar training course. She's also got a Twitter course. And half of these things aren't even up on a website. But there's one area, one thing that you do, like, really extraordinarily well, and that's Twitter. You network beautifully on Twitter. And that's one of those areas. If you're not doing in-person things yet, social media is one of those arenas that you can really start connecting and meeting other people, which is a really important piece of your business is partnering with others to get the word out. So can you talk a little bit, Ellen, about how you use social media?
Oh, I just love social media, it's specifically Twitter. I have just really taken off with Twitter. It's really wonderful for building relationships. And I found, Adela, that I can build relationships with people that I wouldn't have dreamed of getting close to if I just emailed them or if I'd gone up to them at a conference or something,
mm-hmm.
because you can just jump in to conversations. Now, you have to be strategic about it. You can't stalk people, But you follow people. You pay attention to what they're doing. You can start supporting them by what we call retweeting their stuff. And eventually, these folks are going to perk up and take notice of you. And you can start to build relationships this way. In my last joint venture virtual event, I got every single speaker that I had for that event through Twitter, which I think is an amazing thing.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, amazing. So I just love it, and I would encourage those of you who don't have Twitter accounts, or if you have a Twitter account and it's just been laying there, you know who you are, you haven't been doing anything, get out there and and start following some folks in your niche that you want to, and watch, just watch what they do. That's what I did, Adela. I went out and I followed some folks, and I just watched for a long time what they did. And I thought, oh, look at that. Yeah, I see what they're doing. And so I started modeling what they were doing. There's that modeling but not morphing kind of thing, you know. And I just gradually started paying attention. And, you know, of course, I read everything I could get my hands on, you know how I am. And I, you know, researched and this and that. But I eventually developed my own little introductory course to it. But it's you can do it just by getting in there, following folks, and just watching what they do. And then just jumping in. It's easy.
Yeah. So follow Ellen. Yeah, follow Ellen. Ellen at Ellen Britt. And you can see how she does it, because you are really brilliant at this, for sure.
Well, thank you.
Another thing that you're really fantastic at, and I know that you've offered a bonus, and we're also going to talk a little bit later on about a special course that you've put together just for the Conscious Business Telesummit people, which is really wonderful.
I am so excited about this, because
I am very excited.
If you hadn't said something to me, I wouldn't have thought about it, I think. And I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things that, one of the questions that has been coming up over and over again. We've got people on in all spectrums of their business here, but it seems like we've got a good amount of people that are in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
They've got questions around list builder, and you're an extraordinary list builder. So I wanted to know if you could just share, of course, you can't go into everything because it's, you know, I know that the course that you've put together is, you know, juicy and it's got all kinds of great stuff and we can't possibly cover it all. But can you give us just some simple ways to start building your list?
Okay. Well, before I do that, I want to just, you know, sometimes I think people get really discouraged when they think about list building. And they think, oh, Lordy, you know, it's just going to take me so long and everything. But I want everybody who's in that beginning place to really savor the spot that you're in, because all of us began at that place where our lists were zero, you know, or, you know, just they just included our friends and maybe our mother and our dog or our cat, you know. And but, you know, I like to use Asian metaphors a lot. So, you know, in the Asian meditation traditions, there's this tradition of the beginner's mind, and that's a really wonderful place to be, because after you start learning, you can never be in that place again because you're not a beginner. So savor that spot, remember what it feels like to be in that place, and then jump into this. I think the thing that folks need to remember about list building is it is not rocket science. The first thing you've got to do is put up a place for your potential list people to sign up. You know, you've got to have, a lot of people have web pages, there's no place for people to opt in. I see that all the time. I think, oh my gosh, these people are not building a list. Now, that's the most elementary thing, but you'd be so surprised at how many people who are famous, who could have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on their list already if they just started because they're so famous. They don't have any kind of an opt-in form, or if they do, they make it so difficult that nobody's going to give you the 15 pieces of information. You know, all you want is their first name and their email address. That's it. Now, you can't put up a page anymore and say, subscribe to my free newsletter. That doesn't work anymore. It did 5 years ago. You know, it's not going to work anymore, because who wants another piece of email in your inbox? You know, nobody. So you have got to give them something really, really enticing to get them to opt in. Make it creative. This is where you can shine. Perhaps it's an audio. My own little freebie in something that I'm revising right now. We're going to go into the second edition. But it's a little dialogue that I wrote about list building called Zen and the Art of Email List Building. I get more compliments on that little thing because it's so unusually written. And it's got a lot of good information in it, too. But I used my own style. It fits with my brand. And that's what we call a bait in the list building world. So you've just got to get a page up there, and you've got to put a form so that and offer people something enticing for them to put their name and email in and get them on your list and get it building. Now, please do not host your list on Outlook or in your own email client, because once you get a few hundred names, if you start sending emails out to them, your internet service provider is going to blacklist you and shut you down, and it's against the law. Now that the canned spam rules have been passed, you can't do that anymore. So you want to sign up with one of the list hosting services like AWeber or Constant Contact or something like that, some place where your list can live so it's legal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some really elementary ways to get started. You've really got to have some kind of good thing. And I talk a lot more about this in my list building course, but another, and then you can use social media. You know, you can use Twitter, you can use Facebook, you can use a blog to send people over there to your webpage to get your free offer and get them opted onto your list. It's really not rocket science. It's really pretty simple.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to backtrack a minute to Twitter because there's been something that's been, I've got over 2,000 DMs that I don't even look at anymore.
The direct, now by DMs you mean direct messages.
Direct message.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a right way to do this stuff and there's a wrong way to do it, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So what's the right way to do it? If you're going to offer something on Twitter, what is the right way?
Yes. When you sign up for a Twitter account, you have the ability to send out an automatic message for anyone who decides to follow you. Well, do not do that because that's known as a direct message and it just sends it directly to the direct message box of the person who's decided to follow you. And it's gotten so bad, nobody even pays attention to their direct messages anymore because they're all spam. So just don't do it. Now, the other thing is when you're on Twitter, you can't just say buy this or go here or go opt in for my free thing. You've got to offer value. You know, people do things like they do quotes or they retweet people's stuff, which means, you know, you put out to your followers what somebody else has said, that you direct people over to other people's good blog posts or information. You're really pointing out other people's stuff a lot more than you're doing tooting your own horn, you know. And then once in a while, you can toot your own horn, and people think, oh, okay, I'm interested in Ellen Sting. She's given me so much great information about other stuff. Let me see what she's got to offer. So it's really kind of, they will weed you out quite fast if all you do is say, go here, buy this, go here, buy this, go here, buy this all the time. And there's people on there that do that, and you'll just get unfollowed. So the Twitter community will shut you down pretty fast if that's all you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one way I've seen you do this, and it's really nice the way that you, when you do an offer, you actually have referred them to your blog, and you actually have content.
Yeah, yeah.
You write a really nice content-rich post that may include a pointer to an offer. So it's not even, you're not even promoting the offer. You're giving them content.
Right. That's one of the things about social media is that people who are on social media like to be social. So they don't like to be pointed directly to a sales page. So you do what's called a two-step kind of process. If I had something to sell, whether it was my own product or something else, I would write a blog post about it, telling them that it was good and the features and this and that, or maybe what I didn't like about it, you know. And then in that blog post, I would link over to the sales page. Then on Twitter, I would send people not to the sales page, but over to the blog post first. That just works better with social media. Social media folks do not like to be directed directly to a sales page. It's like throwing cold water on somebody. So that little strategy has worked very, very well for me, and I enjoy doing it. I think it serves people better as well.
Yeah, because I think that one of the things that distinguishes folks who are conscious and who really want to come from a place of service is that you want to have a connection to the people that you are selling to. It's just not a matter of cha-ching. It's a matter of an exchange of value. And so at every level, one of the things I've noticed from you, Ellen, is that you engage your customers and your potential clients.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter the level of engagement, you always come out feeling really good about it. You know, I can tell you from being on the receiving end, because you're always delivering value. So on my last question, I just wanted to ask, how is it that you that you deliver value over and over. Is this a mindset that you've got? Is it part of your nature? Is it? I mean, how can we do it?
Well, I mean, that's what business is all about, delivering value. And so you've got to keep that constantly at the forefront of your mind. It's not about making money. I mean, it is that, you know, if you didn't make money, you go out of business. But the more value you deliver, the more money you will make. It's, you know, the value comes first, not the money. And I mean, I was raised in the South in a really rural area. My parents worked kind of blue collar jobs, and part of my story is that they developed a commercial greenhouse business when I was a child, and I saw them go from working for somebody else to developing their own business, and I learned a lot of lessons that way. And one of the things I learned was in delivering value. They grew absolutely beautiful vegetable plants and house plants. And when my dad would go out, and he would, if someone would come in to buy like a dozen tomato plants in the early summer, you know, plant a garden, and he would always put two or three extra plants in there without being asked. He would never even say anything to people. He would just do it. And I saw him. I saw him do it. And so I learned those lessons kind of in my bones, you know, that you deliver value to your customers because it's the right thing to do. And it'll come back to you.
It sure does. I love that about you. I mean, really, that's just, you always over-deliver. Always, always. Thank you.
Well, yeah, and it's something that, you know, eventually just becomes second nature.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is such a huge point because we think that we're in business to make money. That's a great distinction. You're in business to deliver value.
Yes, you're in business. You're not in business to make money. You're in business to deliver value. Absolutely,
yeah.
You are. And
yeah.
And with that value will come money.
Absolutely. So, Ellen, can you tell us a little bit about this special course that you've put together for the...
Well, you guys are the first to hear about it. I'm actually quite excited about it. I've realized for some time that my own list needs some help, especially those who are relatively new to list building, or they need some help with the basics of list building. And so I started thinking about it, and I came up with a course called How to Build Your List So the Money Will Follow. And it's not, you'll notice, it's not how to build your list. It's how to build your list so the money will follow. And there is a big difference, a big difference. So we're going to have a lot of fun. This is going to be a live course. Of course, if you can't attend live, we always record the calls, and you'll get those. I'm going to give some bonuses, and I've dragged you into the bonus, Adele. I hope you don't mind.
yeah, I'm happy to.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do a Q&A call, a live Q&A call. We're going to give transcripts of all the calls, and then Adela is also going to interview me about using joint ventures to build your list, which is a more advanced kind of strategy. If you can't come to the live calls, you'll be able to submit your questions in advance, so I'll answer them and you can listen to it on the recording. We're going to cover some really interesting things about the way you have to structure your website to grow, not only to grow your list, but to make sales, which is everybody wants to do. I'm going to teach my Trio traffic generating system that'll get your list growing immediately. And one thing about you have to train your list. Now that sounds bad, but it's like training a dog. That's not what I mean. But you do have to train and condition your list so that your subscribers are going to trust you and like you and will buy from, and when that happens, they will buy from you again and again and again. And we're going to also cover, for those of you who say, well, I don't have a product, that's okay, because you can make money from your list even if you have no product or service, and I'm going to tell you how to do that as well. So we are just going to have a great time. Because this is a live class and we are going to make a physical information product out of this, I'm going to offer this at a huge discount. So I think you've got a link up there?
Yeah, I've got it on Instant Teleseminar, but those folks who are on the bridge line and want to hop over there and take a look at what Ellen has put together for us, it's ConsciousBusinessTelesummit.com www.mindfulness.com/listbuilding, and I will also send it in the follow-up email today. So that is really a steal of a deal. I'm seeing the price. It's a steal of a deal. And the interview that I'll be doing with you on joint ventures, that is a truly, if you want to build a list very quickly, that really is, that bonus alone is worth more than what the course is cost.
Yeah, and we're gonna have fun. My classes are always fun.
Oh, they're always fun,
yeah.
And practical.
Yeah. No, this is not going to be pie in the sky. We are going to do nuts and bolts work. We're going to do so. Not that I don't do any mind shift work, because you've got to have some mind shift work at the beginning. You know, I used to think, Adela, when people, internet marketers, talked about mind shift, I thought, oh, they're just padding their courses, and you know, they're just putting this. Now I know. It's like the mind shift is the most important thing. I just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
So we will spend some time on that, but most of it will be absolutely practical, nuts and bolts stuff, so that you can put a system in place to get your list up and running. And this is whether you've done anything on the web or not before.
Yeah, and this will be so, because if you've got a business, an internet business, and you don't have a list, you really don't have a business. So this is really nuts and bolts, and you're going to get it in 4 calls, plus there's a bonus call, and then the bonus interview. So,
right, bonus Q&A call and bonus.
Yeah, so that is really, really a rich offer. So, Ellen, I love spending time with you, always.
Well, same here.
And I'm always learning new things, so this has been so fantastic sharing you with this Conscious Business community, and I am so thrilled that you were our final call. Thank you so much for being here, Ellen.
It's just been a pleasure. Been a pleasure to wrap up your series for you, and hopefully I'll see a lot of you in the how to build your list so that the money will follow. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to unmute the lines just so we can say goodbye. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
To the webcast, please click on one of the webcasts.